And thank you to all the pastors who give me the incredible privilege of sharing the Word of God this morning. Before I share, I just ask, you know, you could have been anywhere this morning. And if you're online, you could have tuned into anything online this morning. But you're actually here. And you're here because God's drawn you here because He wants to do something. So if you would, with me, I'm going to pray. And if you'd repeat after me, if you feel you would like to receive all that God has for you, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to come and move. Because we know that without Holy Spirit, without God doing, nothing happens. It's all God. The change that happens, the life that we can live, is all centered around our Lord and Holy Spirit working in and through us. So if you want to just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for loving us. I ask that today that you would come, that you would renew my mind, you would heal my heart, you would restore my soul. I give you permission to do whatever you want to do in me through the transformation of your word. Amen. So now I want you to listen and know that something is going to happen this morning. Because when we ask God to come and transform us to be like His Son, we're asking according to His will. And we know when we ask anything according to His will that we have received it. So today, I'm going to continue our series, Victorious and Righteous Living. I'm part six. And the title of my sermon is, You Can't Have One Without the Other. Because when we live righteously, we will live victoriously. But in that, we have a conundrum, you see, because mankind on their own is actually incapable of living righteously, which means that without Jesus, we actually will never be able to fully realize a victorious life. And you say, well, how is that? Why is that? Why can't we not live righteously? If we're Christians, oh, I pay my tithes. Well, that doesn't make you righteous. Or I obey my parents. That doesn't make you righteous. I try and I do. And so why is that not good enough? Well, we have to go back to the beginning. We go back to Genesis. And you see, God created mankind. We have God, the Father, God, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are love. And love always wants to have somewhere to land in. And He wanted to be able to have intimacy and relationship. And so He made man and women. He said, let us make them in our image and likeness. And so He made us in His image and likeness. And when that happened in the garden, back at the beginning, we were one with Him. And so we shared in His righteousness because we were created in His image and likeness. And so we lived. And that's why, you know, people go, well, when Eve sins and she chooses to disobey, all of a sudden they realize they're naked. And they are ashamed. And it's not because before they couldn't see, but they were clothed in the righteousness of God. And then once that's removed, now you see and you have shame. Because in righteousness, there is no shame. And so what happens is, God creates Adam and Eve, and they're fellowshipping with Him. And He says, okay, you know, you can eat of any tree in the garden, except there's one. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat from that fruit of that tree, because the day you do, you will surely die. And they're like, okay. And they're going about doing their life and being with God and doing what they were created to do, which is to extend His image and likeness over the face of the earth and to steward the world well in His image and likeness. But there's another creation, another being that's been created, and it's an angel who has fallen, and his name is Lucifer. And he's a created being. But you see, he wanted to be God, and he wanted to be worshipped. But we all understand that, like us, He was a created being. We are created by God. There is only one God. There will always, ever only be one God. And it's not creation. He alone is God. And so the devil comes, and you see Satan, he wants to separate man from God. He wants to undermine our relationship. So he begins with the question that he will use continually throughout history. And he comes and he says to her, did God really say? Did God really say? You see, the first question he likes to use is he wants to get us to question what God said, to question His word. did God really say? He doesn't just say it to them. He's even today, right? He comes to you and he goes, did God really say he'll never leave you or forsake you? I don't know. You look pretty alone there to me. You sure? Did God really say? And what happened was Eve chose to believe what the devil said. And sin enters the world. And because sin enters the world, we are no longer one with God, and we've been separated. And sin and righteousness cannot coexist. And God, while he is merciful and loving and kind, he is also righteous. And so in his mercy, he drives them out of the garden because he doesn't want them to eat now from the tree of life. Because if in their sin they ate from the tree of life, they would be condemned for eternity to be separated from God. And you see, God wants not one of his children to be separated from him. And so he had a plan. And Jesus said, I will go, because I know their value. I will go. And I will give my life and pay for their sin so they can be restored into relationship with us. And they can once again be one. Now, it doesn't matter how hard I try. It doesn't matter what I do. It's all called self-righteousness. And it's centered on me. And it can never be enough. But when I follow Jesus, see, when I say that I can't do enough, I'm not saying we don't have discipline in our lives, because I'm a Jesus disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciplined one. So I do have self-discipline. I do have a part to play in this. As Paul says, he's like an athlete. He punishes his body. He trains it, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to do. Because we all know that our body wants to do certain things that we know is not good for it. So Jesus comes, and he now, because of what he did, makes us righteous. We can never do anything to become righteous. Isaiah 64 tells us, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. But when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, this incredible thing that happens. You see, there's nothing you do to earn him. It's a free gift. You must receive it. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. It's a gift. Isn't that amazing? That while we were yet sinners, we'd done nothing to deserve. Christ died for us. It's a gift that we get to receive. And if we choose to receive the gift of Jesus Christ and make him Lord and Savior, the impossible becomes possible. John 1:12 tells us, he came to his own. Imagine that, Jesus. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Have you received him, the gift of salvation? Then you are a child of God. Just think on that for a minute. You're not a child of blood or of flesh of man. Though your parents conceived you and bore you, you're his child. You're his child. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's sozoed. Made complete, whole. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. How are we righteous? Not through works. It's through faith, through belief. We believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We become a new creation. Now, why is it important? Those two verses are important. Because if we do not know we are children of God, we will not be able to live righteously. We must know and believe who we are. Because you see, that's the second thing the devil tries, the question he tries to do, is to get us to question our identity. If you do not believe you are a child of God, and it's not an idea, a fuzzy good feeling, it's actually who you are. You are a child of God. And if we want to live righteous, we must believe we are righteous. We must take God at his word. 2 Corinthians 5:12 says, "For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him," in Jesus. Are you in Jesus? If you are in Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. You go, but you don't know what I did. No, I know what Jesus did. But what I've done? No, what has Jesus done? Where are you going to look? Who are you going to believe? Because you see, if we don't know and believe what God says, we will never live a victorious life. And to believe God, we have to trust God. And to trust God, we have to know God. And how are you going to get to know God? You're going to read his word. If you are not, and I are not in the word daily, how are we going to get to know this amazing God? And when I say read the Bible, I'm not talking, okay, I'm going to open it and I have my Bible reading plan. Bible reading plans are good. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm not reading to tick. Yeah, I did that chapter. I did that. Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs. I'm good. There you go. I've read the word. It's not even, I'm going to memorize the word. For as grace, I've been saved through faith. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I can repeat it and recite it all you want. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not studying as in, I'm going to get knowledge and I'll be able to tell everybody what's in here, because knowledge puffs up. Yeah. It's get understanding. So what I want to do when I read the Bible is I want to open it. Do you know that this book is unique? There is no other book in the world like this book. Right. It does not exist. This is the Bible. It is the living word of God. No other book has living words in it. No other book can, if you read it and take it and absorb it and put it into yourself and make it part of your who you are, will transform you. This is the living word of God. And when you read it, you want to take it. And you want to sit with it. And you want to look at it and meditate it and read it. And you take it and you chew over it and you make it part of who you are. And you become, the word becomes flesh. It becomes in you too, so that you get to know this God and all he's done. So when the devil comes and goes, "Did God really say?" You go, "Yes, he did." And you can't talk me out of it. But if you don't know what's in there and the devil comes and goes, "Did God really say?" You're like, maybe. I think he did somewhere. And you're going to be, how do you live victorious from that place? Did God really say? Do you know who you are? You've got to know the word of God. Be in it daily. Because you see, while we are saved by grace, and we are what we are by the grace of God, is when we believe that the grace of God makes the word of God come alive in our lives. The word of God will get fulfilled by the grace of God, but we have to have faith to believe what it says. And when we know God, we have faith, because we know how great our God is and who he is and how much he loves us and what he's done. And so we can stand firm. And that is why, remember, we don't fight people. If you're still fighting people and you know Jesus, can you stop? We're not supposed to fight people. We're supposed to fight the good fight of faith. And faith is this steadfast, firm, unwavering belief. That's what faith is. And so what I do is, you know, things happen and I look and I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to fight to believe God's word. I'm going to fight to stand true. That's what I put my energy towards. I'm not going to fight people. And what we believe, you see, because if I believe this, it's so critical because what we believe determines how we behave. And everyone is after your belief. You're a believer. Everyone is trying to get you to believe something. Kevin spoke today. People spoke words over you, getting you to believe them. Are you going to believe those words? Or are you going to believe God? Everyone wants you to believe something. You don't think so? Check your phone. Watch TV. Look at the commercials. They're trying to get you to believe something. You need to buy this. You need to look this. You need to. They're trying to get you to believe. God also wants you to believe something. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to believe his word. Because you see, do we believe life is hard? Do we believe we are always going to sin? Do we believe we'll always have issues? That's what the world believes. That's what the world would tell you. Because you see, if I believe that life is hard, then I will find evidence that life is hard, and my life will be hard. Yeah. And if I believe that I will always sin, then I will always be able to rationalize why I sin. And if I believe that I will always have issues, then I'll always, again, justify why I behave the way I do, because I will always have issues. Because you see, we don't live the life we want. We live the life we believe. What do you and I believe? Do we believe the Bible is true? Do we? You're a Jesus follower. You're basing your eternal destiny on this. Do you believe it? Do you believe part of it? Do you believe it's a good book, but you don't, obviously, the world would say, I've had this conversation, but you don't take it literally, right? I mean, it's a good book, but you don't take it literally, do you? Well, no, I tell them, no, actually I do. I take it literally. It's the word of God. 6 days means 6 days. Yes, he created it in 6 days. Do you believe God's word is true? So if we believe, we're going to assume, if you're here today and you're a believer, isn't that interesting? That's what we call it, a believer. You're a Jesus follower. Then I'm going to assume you believe what is written in the word here is true. And remember, we behave according to what we believe. And if you do not yet know Jesus, then this is going to be the best day of your life because you can choose to believe in Jesus and what he's done for you. Jesus is perfect theology. We know that. He told us, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So what does Jesus say about what we're to believe? Matthew 5:48. Therefore, now the therefore, he's going to tell us something. So something, he's already talked about something, and now he's going to tell us something else. So the therefore, in this case, he talked about the Beatitudes. He talked about us being salt and light. He talked about how he fulfills the law, about how the heart is not just that if you, you know, you look at, if you have it in your heart, it's sin. It's not just if you do it. He talked about loving our enemies. So therefore, he's taught us all about this. You shall be perfect. And perfect means mature, complete, sound, whole. Just as your Father is perfect. Well, nobody's perfect. Isn't that what the world tells you? Well, that's not what Jesus said. He's told us we can actually be mature, complete, sound, and whole in him. Yeah. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off. Who's putting off? Jesus is going to come and take it off of me, right? My husband, because also he should lead well, he should take it off of me. My children should help me take it off. My pastor is responsible for making sure I take it off. Well, that's not in the word, right? Remember, we believe the word is true, not what I have experienced, not what the world would tell me. The word is our truth. So I take it off because you see, Jesus has already put something on us. He's put on a robe of righteousness that we're never to take off. Custom designed for each one of us. I have my robe of righteousness, but there's stuff I need to take off. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and lust, please understand, it's not just sexual. Lust is any strong desire and intense craving for something. It can be all sorts of things. And be renewed, excuse me, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, what you are believing. and that you put on. So we take off. Now we put on. And what are we going to put on? The new man. So the new, excuse me, a new in this case is unused, fresh, novel, new in regard to form or quality. Do you realize that after Jesus rose from the dead, a new creation came into being? It was the born again man and woman. That didn't exist before Jesus. It's new. It's completely new. And that's you and that's me, which was created according to God in what? Righteousness and holiness. Were you meant for righteous living? Yeah. Are you able to live righteously? Yes, in Christ. It's the word. We believe the word. Romans 12:2. Again, we know this one well. And do not be conformed to this world. The world, media, people around us, you know, squishing, shaping, molding, trying to get you to look like they say you should look. Please don't blame your parents. They may have done a terrible job. And as hard as it is to understand this, God chose them for you. So I'm going to trust God that he won't waste what happened to me, but he'll use it for his glory if I let him. I'm sure there are people in your life who tried to squish you and conform you and make you. Can you forgive them and realize that they don't actually have the power over you now? You're a new creation. You're going to not be conformed, allow that to happen, but you're going to be transformed by the renewing, a complete transformation and change of heart and life. By trying harder? No, by the work of Holy Spirit, of your mind. Again, what you believe, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What else does God say about how we can live? Not the world, remember. But what are we to believe what God says? I love this one, Galatians 5:16. If you walk in the Spirit, well, sometimes you'll be able to not fulfill. On occasion, that's not what it says. He says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the strong, intense desire and cravings. On an aside, the lusts of the flesh says we will not fulfill. But how can I have to, right? Doesn't the world tell us? One of the things that's really right now rampant in the world is pornography. You go, pornography? You're mentioning pornography in church? Well, we should be able to mention everything in church because this is where we get our direction from. If we are righteous, see, this is why it's so key to understand that we are the righteousness of God. Because if I am the righteousness of God and I have embraced my identity, it's not that I try hard not to do something. I live who I am. I embrace what God has for me. So because I am righteous, this no longer has appeal to me because it's not who I am. So I don't have to, if you're struggling with addiction, I would encourage you, it's about identity. Rather than fighting your addiction and putting all your energies into fighting your addiction, how about you take all your energy and putting into finding your identity. And then once you have your identity, you'll find that your addiction will be very hard to get a hold of you. And just a further comment about pornography, you know, it is evil. And you know that it's important because the soul sexual intimacy and the way God designed it to be take place within a man and a woman in a marriage covenant, you know it's important because the devil has spent so much time and energy to corrupt and pervert it. And we understand the devil has limited resources. I hope you understand this, that he's a finite being. So he has limited resources. So if he's willing to commit so much energy, and you know that it's something that's very valuable, that he does not want you to function wholly and healthily in, because he knows how damaging it can be. But he also knows how empowering it is when you do walk according to the Spirit and are able to walk according to righteousness the way God says. So don't believe the lie that you have to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, whether it be sexual, food, whatever it may, TV, social, whatever. Don't believe that lie. Because God has said that you're not the addictions you resist you, the virtues you embrace. You do not have to walk in the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things. So walk in the Spirit. Romans 6:18 says, and having been set free from sin. Oh no, I have to sin. Don't I have to sin after all? I'm only human. That's not what the word says. The word says, isn't that the good news of the gospel? I've been set free. It doesn't mean sin's not going to come knocking on my door, but because now I know Jesus, I don't have to open that door anymore. I've been set free. Because I've been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of a lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members of slaves as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What he's saying there is, when I lived without Jesus in the world, I used my members, I presented my body, what I did, what I saw, what I listened to. I used them in the way I only knew how. Well, he says, well, now you've been set free from that. So you can do the same thing, but you use them now in righteousness because that's who you are. And you function according to who you are. But again, once again, he's going to say it. But now, having been set free from sin, in case you didn't get it the first time, he's telling you twice, we have been set free from sin. And having become slaves of God, there's a question. Are you a slave of God? Are you still a slave of self? What I want. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And eternal life, that's not why we give our lives to Christ, get a ticket, now I'm going to heaven. No, it's so much more than that. What's happened is we give our life to Christ, as Mark explained on the cross. He preached about the exchanges that happened on the cross. I give him my life. He gives me mine. I come in the image and likeness of God, and I reveal my Father to the world, the goodness of my Father to the world. And you're saying to me, oh, I can't. I know that. I've heard that. It's been preached. And I try. You know, I really tried hard. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Can I ask you, please stop trying. Can we just believe? Just believe. It's a gift. It's a gift. Can we just believe? But this sounds so like anything unlike the world. Yeah. The world doesn't function this way. It doesn't sound like I have to do anything. Well, no, you don't. But Jesus did everything, and it was costly. So while it's a free gift, it's an expensive gift. Just receive it. And believe it and live it, because that's what the gospel is. It's to be lived. And when we believe it, how about we just do what Jesus asked us to do in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. We want to spend to do that. Once again, it comes back to the Bible. I know it sounds like I may say it all the time, but unless you know this word, you cannot live the life God has called you to. You or I too. So I don't know how much time you spend in the word, and I'm going to give you just a little bit of glimpse of what I do. Please do not then go, okay, I'm going to do what Janine does, and I'll get Janine's results. Because you see, each of us have a unique relationship with God. The key is, have a relationship with God. Have your relationship with Jesus. What do you do when you're alone at home with him? Do you just sit there every once in a while and go, thank you for loving me? Do you spend time just resting with him? So I'm highly distractible. You can probably tell by my enthusiasm. I'm highly distractible. So what I do is I do use my phone. I put the timer on for 15 minutes. I go downstairs into a room with no windows, and I make sure it's been the focus is on so no one can buzz through. Because if I don't have my timer, I find that I'm thinking, I wonder what time it is. I'm spending time with Jesus, but I wonder how much time is left. Do I have to spend time with Jesus? And so I can't fully focus with him because I'm thinking, okay, because I do have, I realize we do have a life that we have to do certain things in. So I have a certain amount of time. And so that instead of focusing on Jesus, I begin to focus on, okay, how much time is it now? Is it how much time has passed? So now I have my little timer. I don't have to think about that because it's going to go off and I'll know my time is up. And so that time I spend just being with him. Just being with him. And sometimes, and this is where our imagination comes in. God created us with an imagination to be with him. And sometimes we've used our imagination for ungodly things. If that is your experience, ask God to forgive you. Imagine like a whiteboard, have him come in and wipe it clean again, and use it for him. All right? So I sit and I imagine. You know how it talks about the secret place of God? Do you have a secret place? So what I did was I asked him, where's our secret place? Where can I meet just you and I where I'll be safe with you and no one else gets to interfere? And so he showed me in my imagination a place. And so I'll go there. And he's always there. I'm not always there. Sometimes I miss, but he's always there. And I come and I sit with him. And sometimes when I sit down, I'll just take my hands and I'll just put my hand in his. And we'll sit quietly together. And sometimes I come, and I take his hand, and I put it on my heart. Can I just say, can you just, my heart is so sore. Can you love my heart? Help me right now. Do you just be with me? And sometimes I'll crawl up on his lap. Sometimes he'll show me things. I'll ask him to show me things. Sometimes I'll ask him to tell me a story. Sometimes I'm just still and know that he's God. But that's our time together. And then the alarm goes. And I get my Bible and I open my Bible and I read. And I talk with him as I read. And I was reading about the crucifixion. And have you ever thought about the crucifixion? I mean, really thought about it? All that he went through? And so I said to him, I said, Jesus, was it hard to go to the cross? And can I encourage you? When you ask Jesus questions, expect him to answer you. He loves to talk with us. And it will sound like him. Don't be afraid that you're going to imagine something. You'll know. And if you're not sure, talk to someone who's spiritually mature. And they'll help you learn how to do that. But I said to him, Jesus, was it hard going to the cross? And he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, no, it wasn't hard. Because I knew my purpose. He saw through the cross the joy set before him. He knew what he was here for. So it wasn't hard. But then he looked at me and he said, but it was painful. And he said, you know, for you, your life doesn't have to be hard if you know your purpose. And you do know your purpose. I've told you your purpose. It's to live, let me live through you. It doesn't have to be hard. But it will be painful. So I said, Jesus, what did you do with that pain? And he said to me, I trusted my Father. And I said, well, what am I going to do? He said, well, I want you to do something for me. When life is painful, I want you to stand and I want you to embrace the pain. And know that I'm there behind you. Just embrace the pain. Let it pass through you to me and I will deal with it. You let it go. You know, our series is called Victorious and Righteous Living. It's not called Pain-Free Living. And we must be careful not to confuse the two. Jesus never promised us pain-free living. The gospel never promised us that we would live a pain-free life. Look at Jesus' life. Remember, he's our model. Whenever you're unsure, look to Jesus. Was his life pain-free? Not in the least. But was his life victorious? What he did changed the eternal destiny of mankind. His life was victorious. He lived righteously, and so he lived victoriously. And we can do the same. Allie, can I ask you to come up, please? He's so kind. You see, he wants us to understand it's going to be okay. He knows that it's going to be, life is painful. You know, I had a father who had been in the war, came from a family that was very strict, and he was one of two men out of 100 who survived his company. And he came back from the war a very broken man, became an alcoholic, had many issues, and was killed before I was 5. And so as a result, and my mother was obviously, they were married. She got pregnant on her honeymoon 3 months after having my sister. She was pregnant with my brother. And she didn't know he was an alcoholic. She found that on her honeymoon. And there she finds herself pregnant with a third child. All their money's been wiped out with the alcohol, spending it on alcohol. And she finds herself with the third child. And you can imagine she probably didn't want that child. But I'm born anyways, because you see, I'm not born because they wanted me. I'm born because God wanted me. And so having come from that start, I had issues with abandonment, because my mother actually told me that my father, because of how he was, never even held me, never said I loved you, never interacted with me. So while he was there for the brief time he was alive, he was never available to me. And so I can go and say, oh my goodness, the world would say, that's so tragic. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to struggle with abandonment issues, and I'm going to influence how I'm going to be. But God would say, you see, that was almost over 55 years ago. Am I still going to let that which was done trump what Jesus did? Jesus tells me who I am. I don't have to let my past determine my present or my future. And if you're still living with allowing your past to determine who you are and how you're going to live, I have good news for you. We don't deny our pain, because you know, if you bury your pain, you're just going to bury living pain. It's still going to be there. What I would ask you to do is what Jesus does. He says, would you invite me into your pain? Would you let me come there? And you may say, oh no, if I can't go there, it's too painful. It'll just create more pain. Well, I want to reassure you, pain is your pain. If you don't go there, it's still going to be there, and you won't be free from it. He will not create more pain. When he exposes something he wants to deal with, it's because he wants to heal your pain. And so Michael and I, you know, we're always continuing trying to improve our marriage. So we're actually doing a course right now. And as part of the course, we asked Holy Spirit, is there something that he wanted to deal with in our hearts? And I thought, actually, I'm pretty good. I've done Freedom Session like 5 times. You know, I should be okay right now. There shouldn't be too much God wants to deal with in my heart. Of course, I'm joking. But anyways, what does Holy Spirit do? He takes me back, and I can see clear as day. I was just under about 2. And I'm standing in our house, and there's my father, and he's walking away, and he has my brother and sister, because he always took my brother and sister, and he always left me at home. And I just felt such sadness standing there, being left behind again. And I just said, Holy Spirit, Jesus said, why don't you let me come into there? See where I am. And so I said, Jesus, would you come and would you show me where you are? And so I'm watching the belief, and he comes up and he says to me, here, come. And he picks me up and he puts me on his hip, and he's smiling. He says, wave goodbye. And so I wave goodbye, and he says, you know, they've gone, but I'm here, and I will always be here. I will never leave you. And so it may sound funny, but I just kind of stuck my thumb in my mouth, and I laid my head on his chest, and I just let him hold me there. And all I can tell you is something happened. Because you see, the memory didn't change. My father still walked away. The circumstance wasn't different. But my understanding, you see, Jesus came in, he rewrote my story in that moment. So that now I look back and I don't see interpreted as my father walking away. Instead, I go, Jesus held me and he never left me. And you see, that's what he wants to do. He wants to come into those places where we have pain. And he wants to heal us. He wants to write his story over those places so that though your memory won't change, your interpretation, understanding will. And you can be free. And you can receive and believe what God says, that you are righteous, that you are holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. And you can say, like I say now daily, I am my father's daughter. I am my father's daughter. I am righteous. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. I know I am my father's daughter, not because of what I did, not because of what was done to me, not because I am my father's daughter because of my. You know, there's a song that's out right now that says, I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. Let the I am tell you who you are and believe and receive and be free. That is why Jesus came, so that you can show the world this amazing Father, this great God who will never change and who loves the world. He loves them so passionately, and he gives us the privilege of being able to host him and to love them, to let him love them through us. How blessed we are. Life is not hard. It's a gift. Remember, this is not our home. One day we will be home. Not today, but one day. So for the joy set before us, let us be who God's called us to be. So I'm going to ask you, we prayed at the very beginning, and you said, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come. Renew my mind, heal my heart, restore my soul. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and close your eyes. And Ali's going to pray for a little bit, keep playing. And Mark will come up when he feels it's time. And would you allow Holy Spirit just to minister to you right now? Maybe he's going to pick you up on his hip and you're going to lay your head on his chest. Let him love you and let him do what only he can do.